first thing for us to do, I guess, is all introduce ourselves. So I'll start, and let's go this direction. Would that be clockwise, right? Mm-hmm. And if you could just tell me your name, what year you are, and where you're from. Okay. So I'm Andrew Mappas. Yeah. I'm the communications coordinator for the Department of Bioengineering. And
I'm Eric Helfcott. I'm a senior in bioengineering. I also study finance, and I'm from New York City.
My name is Kayla Przelski. I'm a junior studying bioengineering, and I'm from Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
I'm Luis. I am a junior studying bioengineering, and I'm from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
I'm Joseph Maggiore. I'm a junior studying bioengineering from New Jersey.
My name is Margaret Schroeder. I am a senior in BE, and I also study healthcare management, and I'm from Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay. I'm still going to start with Margaret, because you're actually an outlier for not being from a relatively close area.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me why you decided on Penn.
Yeah, so I actually went to a small boarding school for high school in Rhode Island, so Northeast, which was close. I chose Penn mainly because I knew I wanted to be in a city. Penn also has this great interdisciplinary aspect to it, so you can take classes in any of the schools regardless of what your homeschool is. Particularly, they have a bunch of great coordinated dual degree programs, so I'm in the M&T program. I mean, I was primarily interested in bioengineering always, but I thought it would be awesome if I could also put that into the context of business. So that's why I chose Penn, was because I was accepted into M&T, but also even if I had not been, I'd still be able to get a minor or a major in another school.
Right, right. So you knew that you wanted to study bioengineering before you came in then?
Yes.
How many of you, just by show of hands, had decided on bioengineering before you had enrolled? Okay, so Joseph, you had not.
Yeah, so I went to high school at Biotechnology High School, which is like one of the nerdiest high schools as you can imagine, but it was like unbelievable going to that school. The thing was that it was an IB program, so you could either do higher level IB physics or IB chem. And there, at least in my mind, there was this like kind of like divide, like, oh, if you do IB physics, then like you're going to become an engineer. And if you do IB chem, then you'll like go into pre-med and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's what I was going to do for chem. So I was going to do chem. And like when I thought about engineering, I just always thought of like building a bridge or like, just like what, I don't know, like your kind of like stereotypical view of what an engineer is, like almost like an architect, like building buildings, like being an engineer, building things, building machines. So I had never really thought about like what bioengineering was. And I always thought biology, like if you majored in bio, it would be applying biology. So when I got into Penn, I had applied to the College of Arts and Science for all my schools. And then when I was starting to register for classes at Penn, I like started looking up the bio classes and I was like, wait, this is not what I want to do. I was just like, this is very like historical, very like retrospective in terms of not really learning how to apply what you're learning. So from there, I think someone like mentioned like, yeah, you should just look at the bioengineering courses. And I looked at them and I think there was one like hemodynamics or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's it. And like, I was just like, this is what I want to do. So I figured it out really early that I wanted to do bioengineering. So I mean, Kayla and I knew each other for a long time, and like she didn't know for the first year that I wasn't in bioengineering because the like one school policy, I was able to take all the engineering classes that I needed to take, even though I wasn't in the school.
So you took them as electives and then transferred schools?
Yeah, so I transferred into the engineering school at the end of my freshman year, which was actually a pretty easy process.
Yeah.
I think it was like literally just filling out a sheet of paper, and then given that I had the grades for it and given that I had the prereqs, it was fine.
Right.
I'm really glad that I had figured it out so soon too.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine it'd be a lot harder if it's like obviously your junior year and you're trying to switch things up and go into engineering, you know?
Yeah. Luis, how about you? On what basis did you choose to come to Penn?
Well, so I'm from the area. Mm-hmm. So Penn was my dream school since I was in middle school. And so I always had it in the back of my mind. And then when I was trying to figure out my major, I had taken a biotechnology course my sophomore year of high school online and really enjoyed it. And so I was trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do with that interest. And I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. And so I found the melding between biology and technology through biomedical engineering and bioengineering at Penn. And so I did some more research, found that Penn was really good and really high ranked for bioengineering. And I was like, okay, this is great. I really like the school. I like the program. And so from then on, I decided to apply, and here I am.
Great. Kayla, how about you?
So I'm also from Pennsylvania, but a little further out from Philadelphia. And when I was thinking, starting to consider colleges that I wanted to apply to, Penn really wasn't on my radar until my dad had suggested that I like start checking it out. I guess he was always interested in it from like the Wharton perspective, because he's really into business. But I was just not interested in that. I had known I wanted to do engineering. So I started looking into engineering by myself. And when I came to visit, I remember like stepping on the campus and I was like, wow, this is incredible. Like, I really liked that you, like, it had the campus feel like walking through Locust Walk and on College Green. And then like, as soon as you like cross the street, like you can like tell you're really in the city. You can like see Center City from where we are. And another thing that I really liked about it coming in as like a senior in high school or junior in high school visiting here was how like in close proximity, like the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and HUP were. And I think that that's really interesting. And one of the things that pushed me to choose bioengineering at Penn specifically rather than bioengineering at any other school that I was looking at, because of the opportunities for research and collaboration with these other schools.
Yeah, it's really something that I think a lot of people don't realize about Penn before they actually come here, which is just how compact the school is. So that the comparison I always think of is Columbia. You have to travel 50 blocks to get to the medical center from the main campus. And, you know, so you got to get on the subway and you've got to go five stops north and the whole thing. Whereas here you can just walk 3-4 blocks and essentially you're there. In fact, it's right next to the engineering campus, so it's even more convenient than if you were, say, in law school.
Exactly. Yeah. I just think, like, earlier this afternoon before I came to talk with you guys, I was at Health Tech Symposium in the hospital complex, and I was like, it was just like a quick, like, 5-minute walk over to engineering. So I just think it's a really convenient aspect, too, and a lot of people don't realize it. And there's so many opportunities that are there to, like, apply what we're learning in engineering, and I really appreciate that.
Eric, you're the sole urbanite, I think, among the five of you.
So, I think so.
Yeah. So you're from Manhattan?
Yeah.
Whereabout?
Upper East Side in the
70s. Upper East Side. Okay. You came to a smaller city, significantly smaller. But I've lived in both places. I've always felt like they have greater similarities than, say, Chicago and New York. But why did you choose Penn?
I think coming from New York into Philly, obviously there was some consideration. And did I want to be in a city for college? You know, obviously I'd had that experience for my entire life. Did I want to go to a more campusy feel? I think Philly and Penn specifically was the best of both worlds, realistically. Philadelphia is definitely not as overwhelming as New York might be in the best of ways. But I think that in the end, that kind of molded between the urban feel and the campus feel. So I was able to get a lot of the experience I had in New York and kind of what I was familiar with molded into an actual college campus. I think in the end, that was a big selling point for me coming from New York City, knowing I loved that environment. To be able to still have that feel was really valuable, even if it was maybe on a lesser scale.
Yeah, I think something that's just that both like Eric and Caleb brought up that is just interesting too is that there is, like, so you have this hospital complex that's so close, and you have Philadelphia that's so close, and you have just city streets so close, but I think it's still, it's one of the only campuses I really feel that, like, actually makes it work, where, like, you have these divided regions where it's like, oh, this is such a beautiful campus area where you can look around and maybe you can hear, like, the city going, but it's, you have the hospital so close, but, like, if you want it to be far, it can be far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. I think, you know, I've been here a little bit less than a year working in this position, and so I had to, like, get paperwork done and stuff like that when I was first hired here, and I was meeting on a really regular basis with Dr. Meany to get myself oriented, and we were speaking one day about sort of just walking across the breadth of the campus, and I had forgotten just what a beautiful campus it is. I had spent a lot of time down here when I was in high school because my girlfriend at the time, her brother went to school here, so I had seen the campus when I was quite young. And I had just forgotten. And really, it's easy to forget that you're in the middle of a big city. Again, the comparison that I think of is Columbia. It's got this really, really nice inner campus, and it's beautiful. And the architecture in particular is really beautiful up there, but it's so small. And you've got essentially a block in either direction, and you're, boom, right back in the city. Yeah.
And I think going back to Columbia, because I actually, you know, a lot of my consideration, Columbia was one of the places that I looked at pretty heavily because my parents being you know, the hopefully good parents that they are wanted me to be as close as possible. So Columbia was big on their list. But I think one thing that Columbia doesn't necessarily have as much as Penn is the integration of its campus. So you have the Columbia Engineering School and kind of the Columbia Arts and Sciences, and they're fantastic schools. But what you don't have necessarily is the way that engineers here are still integrated into campus life, how there are so many social ways to express yourself, and how there are, you know, ways like dual degree, which is how Margaret and I do it, to integrate yourself into other parts of campus, not just the engineering side of things. So I think in the end, that's very valuable as well.
Yeah, the other comparison that I think of is NYU, because that's where I went. And so with NYU, there's no insulation between the city and the campus. You're just right there. And if you're in engineering, then until relatively recently, that meant you go to Brooklyn. You're not even on the Manhattan campus. Lanisha, you wanted to...
Yeah, I think also a thing for me, because coming from the suburbs and then coming into the city, I was always debating whether making that move into the city was like what I want to do it long term or just do it temporarily. And I feel like for me, going to college in the city was really advantageous. And also there's like the West Philly community around, and there's also just so much to do outside of campus if you want to, and being able to walk everywhere. So you have that campus feel, like previously mentioned, but then you can also just explore everything around. And I think that's the cool thing. You still have that enclosed feeling, and yet you still are integrated into the city, and then can do like walk all the way to South Street and get brunch if you want on the weekends, or you know, go down to West Philly and help with different schools and volunteering. So you have a lot of different opportunities being in like the hub of everything.
Yeah, that is a really nice walk to take from the sort of the lower end of campus across the bridge, and you can sort of do the whole walk and get the historic South Street and even into the old city and Society Hill and all of that. How about in terms of, so you're in your either third or fourth years here, in terms of what your adjustment was like, whether it was sort of adjusting to the curriculum or adjusting if you came from a place different from the environment here to sort of those kinds of things, I guess is sort of the next topic that I'd like to talk about. A couple of you, well, Kelly, you said you came from Pottstown?
Pottsville.
And that's fairly far, but, you know, it's, I guess, about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a sort of, was it a bit of an adjustment for you to be in the city versus in the sort of the exurbs?
I would definitely say it was a huge adjustment. Just to put a little perspective, the closest Starbucks to my house in Pottsville is a half hour away. So that's how far out I am in Pottsville. But coming into Philadelphia, it was a big transition, but I knew coming to college, that's exactly what I wanted. So it wasn't a bad transition at all. I was, like, so ready for it. I loved what Lamise was talking about, how everything is so accessible outside of campus. And, yeah, I was definitely really ready for it.
Isn't the nearest, like, Chipotle for you, like...
45 minutes.
Yeah, like...
45 minutes.
I remember you used to tell me how you would, like, your friends would be like, oh, like, let's go to Chipotle tonight. And it would be like, oh, my God, yeah, let's go.
It's, like, a to-do. Like, it's an activity there. Whereas, like, I just thought that was crazy. I remember texting my sister when I got here. I was like, Chloe, like, there's a Chipotle... on campus. Like, that's crazy.
Like,
I was like, Mom,
like,
Mom, there's an Urban Outfitters actually two blocks away from my dorm room. Like, get ready. So it was a good transition in that sense. I loved it.
What about the, for any of you again, what about the curriculum?
I found it to be a lot harder than high school. I think I went to a hard high school, given, I mean, it was a boarding school. I think for the first time, you're not spoon-fed the material. You kind of have to figure it out. So it comes at you in different forms depending on the class. So it was the first time I was ever in a lecture hall with 150 other kids. And occasionally you'll get a teacher that isn't the most engaging, but you have to figure out how to make that work for you. And you can't, again, you're not spoon-fed. So you really develop your own study habits and kind of figure out how you learn best. And that's different for everyone, too.
Sure.
But I will say, too, the materials... it's harder. I mean, it's a hard school, and I really think you kind of hear, oh, the Ivy's the hardest part is getting in. That's so incredibly untrue.
Yeah.
I can't describe it. I think especially in engineering, too, it's like you get your hands dirty right away. You're building things, and there's oftentimes not a set of instructions, and for me, who is a very, like, type A learner, I would say, like, oh, give me the instructions, or, like, tell me what textbooks I have to read, and I'll memorize it, blah, blah, blah. This is not that, but that's such a good thing, because it helps you in all ways of life, and that's what we come here to learn.
Yeah.
I think coming, my high school wasn't necessarily the most difficult, and so coming into college, you know, everyone's at the top of their class. So you have to just get used to the fact that everyone is like-minded like you, and everyone kind of had that same drive that brought them and brought you to this point in life. So I think you can't consider yourself to be like the best anymore, which I think is a humbling experience. And I think it's also just like, it's very beneficial to like be able to be with your peers who think the same way, who have that same drive, and then to combine all of that to do different projects and different things like that. And while it is a challenge, you are coming to a good school for a reason. You don't want to be everything to come easy to you. And I think that's something that you realize, you know, by the end of your freshman year. Because sometimes you're like, why am I in such hard classes? Why am I doing this to myself? But if you're not challenged and you're not taking hard classes, then what are you learning?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what I was thinking as I was listening to Margaret speak just before you, which is that I would imagine you wouldn't want it any other way, that you're, and particularly as a future engineer, the idea is, you know, of course you know it's difficult because it's engineering, and sort of the thought is that you're sort of at the pinnacle of difficultness. But I wanted to ask about the lab experience here, because it is one of the things that makes the program here slightly different from other BE or BME programs. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so I also wanted to touch, so I mean, it kind of connects back to the lab experience specifically. Right now I'm a junior, so I'm in BE 309. But I think like a point I had just like wanted to make sure to bring up is that I think there's like a potential that a lot of the issues that a lot of people have at Penn, let's say like that they say that things are particularly difficult, it's like very important, I feel, to make sure to differentiate whether it's like a Penn specific thing or if it's just like a change, like going to college thing. Because I think at least some of the challenges that I had when I think about them are mostly just going to college in general, where now your schedule is completely open. Like now the amount of options you have to like, you know, craft your own life are like numbingly endless. So I don't think it's like necessarily sometimes like Penn is difficult. This is, it's a challenge at Penn. But I think like something that really helps is that for this BE 309 class, which is like obviously known as a very challenging course and time consuming. But I think what I really wanted in a school and like what I was always trying to find when I would visit campuses is like to make sure that I'm going to a school with humans. Like, I mean, it kind of, it's like maybe trying to like go on campus and stereotype people, I guess. But I, like, the reason why I actually love this BE 309 class is, I mean, I spend so much time with my lab group, but sometimes when you're going through these like really difficult classes in a group, it just like makes it all fun and like worth it. I don't know. I mean, like Kayla, we're like very close friends, but like we always like do the homeworks together, and it's like when you're able to go through something difficult with your friends, it makes it so much more enjoyable. And like I think even though you're taking these really hard classes, by going to a school that like has people that are like humans and like has people that like you can form connections with and like actually relate to, you don't even realize the impossible things you're doing because like you're just doing it with your friends. And like, and it sounds so cliche, but like it's just, I really feel that's true. I mean, I don't know.
So you have this experience with, in particular, the lab series in the junior year is sort of, I guess, like until you hit the senior design project is the most rigorous thing that you're doing. But you mentioned, Joe, the sort of community that emerges from the lab experience. So you guys are, Eric and Margaret, are in senior design right now.
Yes.
Right? So could either of you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Sure. So just to preface this, Margaret and I were also lab partners for both B 309 and 310. And Justin's point is right on. I think we were friendly sophomore year, but we became too good of friends over the course of these labs because we just were so involved. And they were really difficult, but I think we could both safely say they were some of the most valuable and honestly fun parts of our BE experience. To go on to senior design a little bit, obviously it's a step up, I think, even from the labs, because in the labs, as kind of the juniors will speak to, there are assignments. There are lab manuals where you read through this and you understand the protocol and okay, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do this. For senior design, it's more like I have an idea. Okay, now let me define everything I need to do for the next 8 months and see if I can get an end product at the end. So I think for us, that was a big, big change because our lab group definitely felt like there was a rise to the occasion that needed to be done to get there. I think to speak specifically about what we're doing, it's very, very broad in terms of what you could do. We've thought about that and gone back and forth and decided on tackling certain parts of the opioid crisis and thinking about how to better, more efficiently tackle that for nurses, for doctors, for physicians everywhere, and how they can better actually identify administering certain drugs to patients given their intensities of withdrawal when they're actually going through addiction. So this is something that we, maybe at the start of this, didn't even think of. And to come from the lab experience and to say, okay, we have this idea and let's execute on it, it's definitely a challenge, but it's something that we feel confident we'll be able to do over the course of the year.
And I think that it also sort of both the junior and the senior experience teach an important thing about being in the sciences, which is that you're almost never, in fact, perhaps never, going to do research entirely on your own. There's going to be research teams, and you're going to be doing the specific thing that you're best at doing when you're authoring a paper, when you're going on, and I'll ask you in a minute about what your future plans are, but if you go on for a PhD program, you're going to be doing the research that your advisor wants you to do, and so that person's going to be on all of your research. And for a lot of students that come to a school like Penn because of the sort of the competitive nature of the admissions, I think there's probably a tendency for there to be a kind of desire to be on one's own and distinguish oneself. And I think that gets while that is a good quality in general to have, it's not necessarily the best to have in a collaborative environment. Margaret, did you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, I'll just say you kind of can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way. Once you hit junior year, I guess the bigger lecture classes I was talking about where you can kind of teach yourself, that and sophomore year. Once you hit junior year, like, you can't do the problem set alone. There's no way anyone is smart enough to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a room and been like, Eric, teach me how to do this one problem or explain this to me, because the concepts get so difficult that unless you talk it through with another human or get it put into English for you, you can't go it alone. So not only is that not productive, or it's not going to work for you. And I think that's a good thing that engineering forces you to do that. And I will just compare that to the environment in Wharton. And I will say it's so much more collaborative in engineering for that reason, because the material is so hard, whereas in Wharton, a lot of the stuff is memorizable and it is kind of do it your own mentality. So it's been interesting to kind of see that diverge over the past 2 years, I would say.
So healthcare management is in Wharton?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we're both dual degree engineering in Wharton.
Right. That's not an uncommon double major, I should sort of point out for listeners. And there's a large percentage of our undergraduates that go on to work in financial services. I think in the most recent data set that I saw, it was like 40%, which I thought was enormous. But I want to actually ask the juniors first about if you've begun to give a thought about what comes next for you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm planning on submatriculating, which is essentially getting my master's in the fifth year, where I count three of my undergrad classes towards my master's. And hopefully, I'm interested in biomedical devices, so hopefully I will work in a biomedical devices company post-graduation.
Great. Kelly, you don't have to have an answer off the top of your head.
So I have definitely thought about the next steps after college, and then every time I think about it, I kind of like retract back. I'm like, no, I'm not ready for that, which is okay.
Yeah.
But I need to remind myself of that. But I would definitely say that, like, being in bioengineering, I have so many doors open still, which is another really good thing that I like about the program, that I'm still, like, considering going to medical school. So along with the bioengineering curriculum, I'm also taking the pre-medical requirements. But I could also end up submatriculating, and that could work too. I'm working towards a concentration in neuroengineering. And there's so many different paths I can go on, but I just really like that bioengineering, like, keeps all those open for me.
Yeah, no, it really is. I don't think it can be overstated the extent to which it's a great track for a person to be in if they're thinking about medical school. Mm-hmm. And the other thing to sort of point out about it, I think, is that unlike electrical engineering, you have a greater flexibility, I think, in terms of a graduate program if you decide to go that route. Not to mention, ultimately, a faculty position if you really go that route. The people that we have who have faculty positions that we brought in over the course of the last 5 to 10 years, I think it's actually a minority of them that actually have BE or BME PhDs. There's one that has a math degree, one off the top of my head has an applied physics degree. I mean, and it all obviously pertains to the topic, but it's sort of an inherently interdisciplinary topic on its own that kind of lends itself to that. Joe, have you thought about...
Yeah, I'm in the heat right now studying for the MCAT, so I'm going to be applying to MSTP programs it's a dual degree MD and PhD, so it's a few years.
Yeah. Now, will you insist that people call you doctor?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I already insist that, so for the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, you'll find once that's accomplished, you'll be insistent about the doctor for the first year or so. All right, so back to the seniors then. So, Eric, what about you? What do you have?
It's definitely a little bit more defined, I think, for both of us in some ways. I'm in the SubMat program right now. The current thought process that I'm going through, because of the kind of dual degree nature of my existence here at Penn, is looking at the business versus looking at the engineering. I'm really interested in the engineering side. I want real-world experience now so that I can maybe go back into engineering later. And so the way I've been thinking about it, I actually was able to get a job in the consulting field and kind of the more the financial-oriented field. So I'm going to end up probably doing that for 2 years in a primarily healthcare-oriented position, looking at pharma, med devices, and those kinds of things in consulting. And then maybe even 2 years out, actually come back, do the SubMat, maybe consider a PhD, maybe other graduate degrees. I definitely, right now, I'm leaning more towards the business side of things, which is not a problem. I think bioengineering set me up incredibly for that because yeah. I can actually talk intelligently to a CEO of a pharma company or a med device company because I actually know how their products work, aside from, you know, the other things that I've learned in the curriculum. Right. So I think that's really, really valuable for the next 2 years. And then hopefully in some way, shape, or form, returning back to the field in a really true form.
Margaret?
Oh, it's a million-dollar question. Yeah. I am leaning towards grad school, mm-hmm. so I started working in Dr. Meany's lab on campus and kind of fell in love with research. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, I probably would have said healthcare consulting, kind of wanted to do more of the business route, but I'm going to get my master's, so SubMat, and then probably apply to PhD programs, maybe MD, PhD, but likely just the research role. I'm also considering some healthcare consulting, other business side of healthcare type things, but given that every time I stray too far from the hard science and the research, I get bored, I don't know if that's going to work yeah. out for me. But yeah, we'll see. I have another year to decide, which is what's great about submatriculating.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a nice aspect of the program too, I think. I mean, a lot of the students do it because it's just, in a way, if you see yourself as a person that's likely to return at some future point for a master's, then why not do it? You know, even if you don't finish the submatric, you'll have the credits under your belt, which is a nice thing. So I also wanted to ask you guys about cheese sticks. So I wanted to return to the topic of Philadelphia. Actually, and even before cheesesteaks, because I was sort of thinking a bit before when you were talking about West Philadelphia. So West Philadelphia is great because not only because of the Fresh Prince, obviously, but because the fact that you have within really steps from the campus one of the most diverse communities in the entire country. So you have big African influences in the neighborhood and Middle Eastern. So the food choices are amazing. So even before we go cheesesteak, because we'll get there, what are you eating that you hadn't eaten before you came here?
I don't know. I feel like I had a really diverse palate before coming to Penn. But I think I can find a lot of stuff that are familiar to me that, you know, like if I want a taste of, like, my mom's home cooking, mm-hmm. I can get that. So there are a lot of places on, like, 45th and Walnut where you can get Middle Eastern food, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of, like, halal food trucks on campus. So that's really nice to just be able to, like, get that authentic food if you need it.
Sure, sure. It's a good point. Yeah, the halal thing in particular, I think, is great because you're not necessarily – you're going to have that, I think, on most urban campuses, but you're not going to have that on every campus. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hit or miss outside of the city, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, so my parents are just a short drive away, so there's really nothing like calling them and saying, hey, can you take me out to dinner and buy me food? So, yeah, and there's so many restaurants, and, like, my mind is just blowing up right now of all the places that are so good in Philly. Yeah, I mean, you can get any type of food that you like. It's like being in New York or anywhere that you know has a lot of food.
Any other thoughts about more exotic cuisines before getting to the very exotic cheesesteak? Because I think, like, I had Ethiopian food for the first time out here, like, probably 25 years ago. Senegalese, yeah. It's... The neighborhood in particular, to the west of campus in particular, has gotten sort of much more interesting over the course of the last 5 or 10 years in terms of the sheer diversity of the population that lives there and the businesses that they've opened. It's really it's really great. So
that's something I love about Penn and Philly as a whole, just like the diversity that you see that, like, I didn't go to a particularly diverse high school. And so coming here and just seeing people from, like, all walks of life, which is really nice. International students, people from all over the U.S., people from different ethnicities, which is really nice. That's a breath of fresh air.
Definitely. So let's start over here, Eric.
Sure.
Cheesesteak. So
Abner's.
Abner's. So Abner's is where?
It's right very close to campus. So I'm in Greek Life on campus, and my fraternity house where I lived sophomore year is literally across the street from Abner's Cheesesteaks. And what I will say,
delivered.
Oh yeah, I mean, we call ahead. We make sure that they're ready before we go. What I will say is, I don't pretend to argue that it's the best cheesesteak in Philly, because it's not. I mean, there's Gino's. You know, there's like you could name five cheesesteaks that are probably better. But what I will say is, there's a certain ratio of goodness to proximity that really factors in to my cheesesteak decisions.
Right.
And Abner's just, like, hits all the marks. I mean,
it's like a golden ratio. Basically.
It really, it's really fantastic that way, because I obviously value how good a cheesesteak is. Sometimes more than others. I mean, if it's late at night, I probably don't really value how good the cheesesteak is. If it's, like, a reasonable time, I probably do, but the proximity is just fantastic.
Yeah.
So Abner's all the way, even though, you know, maybe it doesn't have the best taste, but it's good enough for me.
But that's sort of the thing about living in Philadelphia, or even just sort of in this, in what I call the cheesesteak blast radius, which is that nobody makes a bad cheesesteak.
Right.
Like, everybody makes one that's passable.
Yep.
You really have to try almost to make a bad one, and so if proximity is your game, I mean, then it's really sort of a no-brainer. It's literally the place that's next door or across the street or what have you. Kayla, tell me about your cheesesteak experience.
So I never really got into the whole Pat's versus Gino's cheesesteak, but I did have Jim's cheesesteak on South Street.
So Jim's is my vote, by the way. So you
really?
Won the magic prize. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw my vote towards Jim's because it was a really cool place. I don't taste test cheesesteaks that often because it's not my favorite food, but like I was there, so I was like, I have to get a cheesesteak, and I did, and it's great. So I'll throw my vote to Jim's.
Yeah, no, Jim's is great, and it's 4th and South, and it's the thing you sort of get. First of all, it's you're not Gino's or Pat's, and so you don't get the tourist element, which
That's
is
great.
A big sort of plus if you live in the city. So it's a little bit, you know, it's sort of off that particular beaten path, but my God, when it's dinner time, like, I don't know if you went there, like, during a meal time, but there's a block that goes clear around the, you know, line that goes clear around
line
the block
around
again.
Around the block.
Yeah, I mean, it's a longer line than they get, you know, in peak tourist season down in Cheesesteak Vegas, as we call it, where all the flashy lights are. Let me see, do you cheesesteak, no cheesesteak? How do you feel about the cheesesteak?
I think Pat's and Gino's are overrated,
yeah.
Personally.
And I'm again with you on that. Oh. With you on that.
Yeah. So my favorite cheesesteak place is actually near my house because I am like 30, 40 minutes away from here. So I can't get past the Cheese Whiz option. Like, fake cheese is not really a thing.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
I am with you on that as well.
I need real cheese.
I think you need real cheese on your cheesesteak,
no.
Emma.
And you need that plastic just poured on top of there.
Well, so Joe, you come from New Jersey. Are you within the blast radius? Are you more New York-oriented than New Jersey?
I mean, like, if you're deciding to go to New York or Philadelphia, like, no one goes to Philly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now, like, my parents, like, try to bring, like, all their friends to Philly. They're like, Philly's so great. Like, you should definitely come here. I mean, I think the cheesesteaks are at Hemo's, the food truck. This is the best.
So this truck is located where?
This is right outside Upper Quad Gate, 37th and Spruce.
And there's another one for the non-freshmen. Just saying, for the more experienced food truckers on campus, there's one on 38th and Walnut, just so everybody knows.
The food truck is really sort of, I mean, I don't know the extent to which...
It's a thing.
I don't know the extent to which outside of Penn it's become like a huge thing like on in urban campuses in general, but I mean... And again, I'm significantly older than you guys, but the sort of the original like gourmet food truck, La Bus, was down here 30 years ago, and I don't even know what happened to it, if it's still around. They had a restaurant next to the White Dog at 32nd, I guess, in Sansom, and that's still there.
I've never eaten at food trucks before I came here, and I always like thought they were disgusting. And then by like necessity, I just like tried them, and I was, oh my God. The food is so good.
Yeah, it's really... In terms of halal, you can get a lot in the food trucks.
Oh, yeah. For $5, you can get 2 meals.
Yeah. Which is, again, a really nice thing. Margaret, cheesesteak? No cheesesteak?
I'm not really a cheesesteak person, I know.
So you spent 4 years now in Philadelphia, right? And
I have had one. I was forcibly taken to Pat's, which was good, but ordering there was terrifying and I get nervous, so...
Pat's is getting a lot of hate on this podcast.
It was good, but I'm not a cheesesteak.
Okay, well, I want to make sure that the listening community understands a couple of things. Last but not least, so if you had one piece of advice to give to a student considering Penn, what would it be?
I would not make a decision based on the brand name of a school. I mean, obviously, Penn has a very great brand name, but if you're weighing multiple Ivies or if you're weighing whatever fabulous school, like, don't. Where you go to college is such a formative time in your life, and at the end of the day, you're not really going to care that you have X name stamped on your resume. You're going to care what you learn and who you met, and I will say that, like, Penn changed my life in that way, just in terms of the people I've been exposed to and the relationships I have, and I think Penn is unique in that way. So, yeah, just think about more than the obvious.
Yeah, and I think just to sort of echo the point that you made, it's, you know, and this is not to knock on the other Ivy League schools. They're obviously all excellent schools. Penn is the only bioengineering program among the Ivy League schools that's ranked at the level that it is, and that's an important point, I think. The extent to which, and I think it's also true that, like, you know, if you are considering medical school or, you know, business school or an advanced degree, then ultimately where you go as an undergrad matters less. But the social aspect of it really shouldn't be underestimated. Sure.
Yeah, I would probably just say that if you're considering Penn, you're likely considering a lot of other phenomenal schools. And it's just obviously worth noting that, like, a lot of college is just up to what you make of it. And I think that you could probably get a similar experience, maybe the one that you're getting at Penn, at other schools. But, like, I think it's actually worth considering factors that, like, you don't usually consider. Like, for Penn, let's say, like, being in a city, like, that was something that I definitely wanted, but now that I'm here and I'm at Penn in a city, I mean, Columbia is in a city too, you know, other great schools are in cities, but I just, like, that is such a huge part of being at Penn for me that was something that I really wished I chose right, kind of thing, but I mean, if I could go back and think about it again, I'd probably assign some more weight to things that are not just like, oh, is it a really good research school, because that's so important, obviously. Yeah. Penn is an incredible bioengineering program, but think about, like, you're a human again, you know, like, think about your social life. Like, what do you want to kind of carve for that? You know, do you want to go to a school that's, like, really diverse, like Penn? Do you want to join Greek life? Do you not want to? Do you want to be in a city? Do you not want to? So those things are important.
Yeah. For me,
I would say take a multifaceted approach to your decision. So the thing about Penn is that, you know, we have four great undergraduate schools. And I think a really beneficial part of my experience has been taking classes in the other schools at Penn. And, you know, you have Wharton, you have, even I know people who take classes in the nursing school, and then the college has so many different classes you can take. And so I think that that's also something that should be incorporated into your decision. If you want to explore other options, are you going to a school that has everything that you're interested in? And considering, like, location, like Joe said, and just everything that you want out of your college experience, make sure that you cover all the different aspects of it.
Yeah, one of the things I think is really important to bear in mind is that you can actually, if you've gotten into Penn, then it is likely that you can make the choice that is going to give you everything that you're looking for. And ultimately, that might not be Penn, but if what you're looking for is the things that Penn offers, then you can actually probably make yourself happy on a bunch of levels that are important to you. Kayla?
Some advice that I would give, I would definitely say to try and not get lost in the crowd, basically, like, by, like, putting yourself out there. Don't just become like, oh, I'm a Penn student and that's it. There's so many more things to Penn, whether it be getting involved in a club or, like, a research opportunity, something in, like, the West Philadelphia community. There's so many more things outside of just being a Penn student that are here to get involved in. So I think that's really important to keep in mind.
Definitely. Eric?
One thing I would say to people who are thinking about, you know, should I go to Penn, should I not go to Penn, and making that decision, I'm the kind of person who, and I applied ED, so I ended up not having to do that, but when I was choosing where to apply ED, that was one of the most major decisions I've ever made in my entire life. I left it down to about the last minute of the deadline before I actually submitted anything.
And that's because the commitment process is different, right?
It is. It's different for different schools. Yeah. I was ED for Penn versus actually EA for Yale was the other thing I was considering. And in the last second, literally before the deadline closed, I chose Penn and I applied ED to Penn. What I would say is I'm the kind of person that needs to know all the information before making a decision. It's a quality that some people like and some people really just hate, and my parents being in the latter half. So thinking about, now that you've gotten into this school, now that you maybe have options, one piece of advice I would give is you're never going to be able to know everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that you may want, but it's something that's never going to happen. So being able to make a decision based on your gut, based on the fact that in some ways maybe you're nervous about it but can still go through with it, do it. Because in the end, the regrets on the other side are minuscule. I could never imagine what my life would be like if I didn't make the decision I made.
As wise people once said, it's better to regret something you have done than something that you haven't done.
Yeah.
Right.